John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Yes, here we are. That means it's a Friday, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mr. Michael Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg is here. Good morning, sir.
So's the rain.
Yeah, there you go. And you got another parade this weekend.
Parade this weekend. The record for rain is 40 days and 40 nights.
We're not getting there.
I don't know. I mean, if you look going forward, there is some rain in the forecast every day for the next half a dozen days.
I know. JJ's been talking about it all morning long.
What is happening here?
I don't know. It's not like June. It's not supposed to be June.
We are not going to have a drought. This is part of the mayor's plan to eliminate the drought.
All right. How are you? All right?
Another
fun week in Fun City?
Another fun week in Fun City. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you certainly can't.
Came in with a book describing half the things going on, nobody publish it.
Well, that's exactly what I said this morning about Albany. Your reaction to what's going on up there?
I'm going to stay out of that. There's not a chance in heck that I am going to get involved and answer your question. I mean, look, the bottom line is I've got to work with whomever is in charge. And we are going to need nonpartisan support for everything the city needs. And so, you know, they're going to have to fight it out. And whatever it is, we will live with.
I want to make
sure that, you know, city government run differently, but
what about the decision making that affects you directly, affects us directly, such as mayoral control?
Well, there's three or four big things that we need to get done. One is mayoral control, with real control.
Assembly passed a bill.
Yeah. Another, and I think there's the votes in the Senate to do so, at least I hope so. But
you don't know.
You don't know when they can vote. There is us balancing our budget. We need Albany approval to make an increase in the sales tax. There is Tier 5, which if we don't do something now, you know, they say, oh, it's not going to make that much difference. Well, the accountant, I think, will let us count a couple hundred million bucks of it today. But you got to do it long term. To say we're not going to, there's no rush to do it now because the crisis is down the road. You can't run organizations the size of, you know, a $60 billion budget for the city, 130, whatever it is for the state. I mean, you just have to do these things now. And there's a whole bunch of other things, some of which can wait. Now, keep in mind, if you go back, we used to have the Albany legislature didn't have budgets on time. They traditionally had them a month or two later, and we survived. Mayoral control of the schools is very problematic if you didn't have legislation in the next couple of weeks, because nobody knows how you'd put the genie back in the bottle. And the school system, people say, oh, it's the summer. They don't, you know, what's the difference? School doesn't start until the fall. Wrong. School goes on all year round. There's summer school. There's construction. There's training. There's decisions being made. Budgets being set. And if the sales tax isn't approved, you're talking about an enormous number of layoffs. And we are getting down to the point where you can't cut very much more without starting to have real consequences. Now, somebody will say, well, they are real because I got laid off or my program got cut back. And they're right. But you're talking about a whole order of magnitude more problems. So, you know, they've got to get their act together.
The bill coming out of the Assembly on mayoral control has some modifications from the way it is set up, where the board would have parents on it. You would have X number.
We have not objected to, I think it's true, anything. I've got to go and check. But pretty much, I thought that the Assembly bill that, in all fairness, Kathy Nolan and Shelley Silver, you know, they got a whole bunch of members, but they shepherded it and deserve the credit for it. It preserves the parts of mayoral control that really are important and addresses some of the criticisms where people felt that you could do it better. You can always improve things. Change is nothing bad about change. If you destroy the essence of mayoral control, then you just go right back to the old Board of Ed. This does not do that.
Is the Senate bill roughly the same?
Which Senate bill?
Well, I mean, isn't there a bill that has been put on paper? I know not voted on, but no, okay.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, they've got to get their act together. They will fight it out. Eventually, we will get through this. Why? Because we always have. I mean, you always
To get through it. I mean, there's no way not to get through it.
Well, just because you have to doesn't mean that's not a reason to believe that it's going to get done. The reason to believe it's going to get done is just because things always eventually get done.
Ultimately yeah. speaking. Yeah. All right. I mean, anyway, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And nobody can define what it is.
You know, I mean, I've always been very proud of the job that our city legislature, Chris Quinn and the other 50 members of the city council, they do things in the open. They read the bills before they vote on them. They hold hearings. When they vote, everybody gets a chance to vote. And afterwards comes the mayor, and the mayor holds another hearing, and then we sign the bill.
Speaking of dollars and cents, as we do each and every Friday, unfortunately, there's more exciting things, I think, but certainly that's what keeps the wheels greased. Your new budget includes cutting taxes for businesses.
There's the only tax that we really are trying to cut for businesses is something called the unincorporated business tax. And a business, a typical business that gets covered by this tax is a one-person business. Somebody gets laid off. They start their own business, maybe with one or two employees, maybe just by themselves, and they pay double taxation. And, you know, when we have an economy where people are getting laid off and are trying to create new businesses, that's a pretty big disincentive, and you don't want them to leave the city. And so it's a very anti-small business tax. Generally,
this is not on big corporations.
No.
Okay.
No. It's just very small, including one-person businesses.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that,
but fundamentally,
it's it's an economic encouragement.
That's correct. Our total tax bill tax revenues for 2010, which starts in a month. It starts in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, saying a month for 2 weeks, yeah. So now it's amazing the way the calendar works. Our tax revenues for starting July 1 for 12 months is about probably about $5 billion less than it was in 2008. And that leaves you very worried about 2011, but we got to get through 2010 first.
Nothing. It's not getting any easier, is it?
In the end, if you make the right investments and if you stick to doing what's right, it will come out pretty good, and the economy will come back, and New York will come back stronger than ever. And there's a lot of evidence that the economy has stopped going down, some nationally, even more in New York City. But nobody should think that our tax revenues are going way up, even when the economy gets better, because a lot of these big companies have all these tax loss carryforwards, and so they won't be paying taxes. But if they make money, they will at least employ people, and those people will pay taxes. So, you know, you shouldn't be looking at this just as everything is tax revenue, but that's what the city government has to do, because we've got to find a ways to pay the 300,000 people that work for the city that provide the services.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, take your shoes off, put your feet up for a minute. Let me take, speaking of money, making some, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are coming right back.
Let's do it.
Let's do it indeed. And if you'd like to do it, pick up your phone. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We'll get to your questions before we finish up. I was just doing a commercial there for the city and 311 information about swine flu. Unfortunately, a little
three,
girl.
Three more deaths yesterday. A child, what we're saying, is between the ages of 0-4, a child between the ages of 5 and 24, and an adult between 25 and 64. You know, you're trying to protect the privacy of people who die. The bottom line is the flu, while this is a relatively mild flu, still kills. And the people that it generally kills are the most vulnerable, which means very young or elderly, or people with what we call pre-existing conditions. Interestingly, this flu doesn't seem to have hurt the elderly. And there was one theory is that maybe there was a mild version of it many years ago, and most of the elderly got it then, didn't even know it, and built antibodies. But that's just a theory. Nobody really knows. It is still a dangerous thing. And the good news is that fewer of what the epidemiologists call the worried well. I love that. They are worried. They go to the hospitals, but there's nothing wrong with them. The mistake in doing that is you put yourself in danger, because in hospitals, that's where you're more likely to find people who are sick. People who are sick go there. So if you're well and you go to a hospital, you can become sick, too. It's sort of a self-fulfilling.
Happens all the time.
The number of hospital visits is down, and the number of absences in schools or number of kids reporting to the nurse with fever is way down.
World Health Organization has raised their threat level to 6.
Yeah,
do we do anything? Do you do anything different?
That has nothing to do with the severity. It has to do with the prevalence of the flu. And, you know, the United States has had it for a while. There's a theory that a very big proportion of the people in the United States have had it, but it's so mild they don't even know it. In New York, you know, there are all sorts of estimates. One I saw 6%, one said 30%. Nobody really knows. And in fact, we don't even bother to test generally which version of the flu you have. If you come down with it, what's the difference? The treatment's the same. And you have it. Most people, it'll be an annoyance and it goes away. But as unfortunately we learned again over the last few days, it is serious. And, you know, how do the parents
does the new
feel?
Health,
and you got to have your prayers got to be out for
does
it.
Does the new health commissioner believe that when school ends, that we will see a tailing off of this? Or is that not really a component
of it? It's already tailed off. You know, kids in the summer congregate in different ways.
Schools, like, yeah, sure.
One theory is that it's more dangerous in the summer because kids come from different locations to get together, more so than in the school, which tends to be more homogeneous, although our school system in this day and age, they can come from all over the city. Flu tends to go way down in the summer. In fact, goes away, basically. And nobody knows what's going to happen in the fall.
Yeah, right.
It'll give us a story to talk about in the fall.
All right, bird reduction. Obviously, in wake of the U.S. air flight into the river, the geese problem and reduction around the airports. I understand that you and the Port Authority are finally going to get into this.
Well, we have been trying to use non-lethal measures like noise and dogs, border collies, disturbing the nesting areas, and that's not been enough. So we are removing 2,000 geese from city property within a 5-mile radius of JFK and LaGuardia. And we're trying to strike a balance in the safety of the flying the public trumps the rights of the geese.
You're going to lose, you know. The geese just keep coming back.
Yeah, but you can...
You got to do something, I agree.
You got to do something, right. And fewer geese. Geese aren't attracted by garbage, so this and the FAA and the Port Authority think the...
It's not like a gull, seagull.
It's not like a gull or seagull. And incidentally, our waste transfer station that we want to build, because if we don't, we're going to keep polluting the air and people die from asthma, except it's hard to get a picture of somebody dying so that, you know, you don't get that visceral reaction. But it really does mean human lives if we don't build this one, and there are no other suitable locations, and to start from scratch again, you're talking about years of delay. In the meantime, people die. FAA and Port Authority says it's fine and it's totally secure, and it doesn't attract the geese anyways. But we've got to go. We're going to use some methods approved by the American Veterinary Medical Association, and that is less stressful ways of eliminating geese. They actually use carbon dioxide, and they just sort of go to sleep. Don't look at me that way.
No, well, I am looking at you that way because it's such folly. And again, this has nothing to do with you, but the geese problem is one that has been around for a long, long time, and there are other ways of doing this.
Such as
letting hunters take care of them.
You don't want to have people running around with guns hunting in the city, okay?
No,
so
I
that
don't,
you can't
I mean,
do.
Of course.
You got to be very careful. I mean, there are people who care very much about the geese, but in the end, safety of the public is number one, and that's what we're going to do.
All right. And the Port Authority is going to pay for some of this?
They're
involved.
There is not a lot of cost involved in rounding up a couple thousand geese and letting them go to sleep with nice dreams.
I'm sure one of your favorite stories this week was in the New York Post about the parties that took place at the Tombs here in Manhattan. A bar mitzvah and a, what, engagement party, I think.
When I found out about it, my first instinct, other than, well, my second instinct was to call Rose Gilhern, the head of our Department of Investigations, who is investigating as we speak. And I'll leave it at that. I don't want to prejudice an investigation. Does the term lack of judgment, those kinds of things, make... I certainly don't want to prejudice anything. It just may be in some people's minds.
Okay. New Yorkers are shaking...
As they say...
Exactly.
As they say, oy vey.
Oy vey. Okay. New Yorkers are shaking their heads over that one. It's just too much. Okay, latest on... you've been working real hard to get Silverstein, the Port Authority, and everybody else together. Tough.
Very tough. I've said I'll give another update on Monday. We are not there today. I came from another meeting today on that already. The problem is today there is not a market for... there's no tenants for these buildings, so you have to build on spec and assume they're going to be there, which the private sector can do, but whether the public sector should be doing that is questionable. There's no financing available today, although there will be down the road. At some point, banks will start. In fact, they're loosening up a little bit, but still not enough yet. We have a design for a magnificent Port Authority terminal, the Calatrava building, which in this day and age, if you were starting from scratch, you wouldn't do anything as big, but it's part of it. You say, well, let's cancel that. Well, the trouble is that a part of that is... The design includes, it interfaces with the memorial, which you don't want to stop the memorial. But if you stop one, unfortunately, the master plan has 16 acres where if any one thing doesn't work, everything stops. And that's not overstating it by very much.
Couldn't you stop the buildings, though? I mean, I understand that the area needs to be done.
You can stop going up above ground, really, but
still
you have
to do the foundation.
Because in the basement is the air conditioning for the whole site and the water for the whole site and the sewage for the whole site and all that kind of stuff. And the security, transportation, bus parking... looking inside trucks. I mean,
have you ever worked on anything so complicated?
I don't think anybody ever has. And, you know, it's easy to go back and blame everybody that came up with the original design, but it was a very patriotic time, and everybody was waving the flag. The terrorists are not going to get us. It was a time when lots of money was available. It was a time when there were lots of tenants. And... but what makes it so complex is there's the private sector and the public sector. There is the state of New York and the state of New Jersey. There's the Port Authority run by those two states. There's the city. There's the MTA, which is only a New York state agency. There's the, you know, the federal government has a part in this. The insurance companies, the families, this just, and I don't, so far we have not been able. We've made a lot of progress, I think, but, you know, if you go 95%, if you jump 95% across the Grand Canyon,
you still fall.
You still fall. And we've got to keep working at it. And I think, in all fairness, everybody is acting in good faith, but, you know, now you're seeing people say, well, I don't think the Port Authority should be spending money, or the cities and the two states, on commercial development. They should be focusing on transportation projects. That's the purpose of the Port Authority. Well, okay, except that the buildings aren't there. You don't need much transportation.
But you've got to get the subway transportation there before you build above, right? Sort of.
Well, you know, the Port Authority PATH trains are there already. You're two blocks away. You have the Fulton Street subway station. That's costing an enormous amount of money. Would you have done that today? I don't know. But the bottom line is, we made the decisions. You can't go back and second guess all these decisions. You just have to work with them. And I've never been big on saying should have, would have, and could have. You know, I wasn't part of the decision, but I don't think I would have. I don't know that I would have made a better decision.
Right.
I don't know that I would have stood up and said no. It was a different time.
There certainly will be an answer, just like you said, then with the state situation in the Senate. There will be an answer at some point. There will be an answer with this one. Do you think it will be soon enough to keep the time frame of the memorial completion by 11?
I think the most likely thing to get done on time is the memorial. Having said that, the definition of done is, I've been very careful to say what I think and hope, and I really do believe will get done, is the part of the memorial where you can walk and look at the names and look down in the voids and see water running down and disappearing, and come and reflect and educate and that sort of thing. You will not have the underground museum done by then, and there will be a corner of it which, even if you can walk on it, they'll then have to rip up to keep going underground. Maybe won't even get it that corner done. But, you know, look, nothing's perfect.
All right, Mr. Mayor, hang on. We've got lots more and questions from the audience. If you'd like to get in line, we've got a couple of open lines, 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710.
Give John a call now. 800-321-0710. News Talk Radio, 710 WOR.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with me, John Gambling, here on a Friday at News Talk Radio 710 WOI, 19 minutes before 9. Don't forget, if you'd like to make Figs is screening the calls here this morning, 800-321-0710. You have done your major work when it comes to smoking here in New York City, and it has contaminated the rest of the world, so to speak.
I wouldn't put contaminated.
I think it's a good
educated.
Way. Educated.
You know, more people die from smoking than just, you know, a whole bunch of
stuff. I'm on your side on this one. As you know, the Senate has given the FDA a whole lot more power.
Yeah, I mean, something that, they deserve a lot of credit. And then I think Congress has also, the House has also passed it, and I assume the president will sign it. For 40 years, the tobacco industry has fought giving the FDA control, and this is a major public health hazard. And, you know, I've never believed the government should take away your right to smoke, but your right to have somebody else smoke involuntarily because you're smoking and they're sitting in the same room or the same place, that's not something that I do think we should protect people from. I do think if you smoke, the medical evidence is there. People say, nothing's going to, I'm not going to, they're not going to tell me I'm going to do it. Yeah, well, wait till you come down with cancer. You're going to go back and say, I said what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, there are lots of other ways to have a good time. You don't have to. And I know it's hard to stop smoking, but it's a lot harder to look yourself in a mirror and say, I'm dying. I really would like to see my family more, and I could have stopped this. And part of it's education. Part of it is government responsibility to tell you, you know, if you go to Europe, somebody gave me, I have it on my desk, cigarette packs from countries around Europe.
I've seen them.
Oh man, they have pictures of skulls.
This will kill you.
This will kill you. Oh, big
That's
words.
What they have, yeah.
And pictures of lungs, you know, and they really, in the United States, we're so skittish. But, you know, we're killing ourselves here, and
makes
this is crazy.
Makes no sense. You've got some more bad news here?
Yeah, there was a, there's going to be a funeral later this morning for a 21-year-old New Yorker from Far Rockaway who was killed in Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Funeral, I think, is at the Christian Cultural Center in the Flatlands. He was Army Specialist Roberto Hernandez. And he was killed last week when his mounted patrol encountered an explosive device. And he's going to be buried later on at Calvert National Cemetery on Long Island. But, you know, we ask our young men and women to go overseas and fight and die for us. And, you know, you got to, his mother and his and the rest of his family, what do you say to them? Thank you for your son giving his life or her life as a young lady to... so that we can lead our lives. I don't know, somehow or other. I always
empty,
say it,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it can't express. And if you were in that situation, I can't imagine what it would be like. I think only people who, thank God there are young men and women who want to volunteer, and we have an all-volunteer army. But I don't know. It's it is so sad, and our prayers anyways go out to Roberto Hernandez's mother.
Yes, indeed. Then, okay.
And family.
Some interesting news, I think. I've got mixed feelings about this, and this is your experiment of paying students for grades. It was reported, and the stats are showing.
Done with private money, and if it works, we'll take
and
a look
at it. Seems to.
Yeah, I think it seems to. We have, it's a slightly separate program from our conditional cash transfer thing, which is also done with private money, which is encouraging young mothers to take their babies to the doctor and make sure their kids go to school with a meal in their stomach. You know, I keep coming back, and we hired a private company to do the analysis. And so far, at the beginning, it wasn't encouraging, and then it started to be encouraging. And we're
talking about which program here?
The conditional cash transfers,
right.
And then the stuff with the schools seems to be encouraging. You want to make sure, and nothing is going to be a panacea where you go 100%. If you improve results by 10% in the social sciences world, that's an enormous change. You got to make sure after a period of time it doesn't lapse back. And if you got to make sure that if you start a program, you have the courage to cancel a program if it stops working, which we never do because there are people who work in the program. And these programs become not necessarily all for the people that work in there, but some. You know, I understand that. They have their jobs. They want to protect their jobs. And people fight, you can't cancel this program because I will lose my job. Well, it wasn't created to give you a job. Mm. It was created to help somebody, and it's not doing it. So we use capitalism to incent wealthy people to do certain things or not do certain things. And to me, this is doing exactly the same thing for people who aren't wealthy. And whether it works or not, you know, there is a theory that at some level it doesn't work because there's enough of a safety net so that people just say, you know, not going to work. They'll take care of me. We don't want that in our society. We want, the way I phrase it, we want to give a hand up, not a hand out. And we focus in New York City on helping what we call the working poor, people that set the alarm clock and punch the time clock and do everything we ask them to do. They take jobs which we have, want people to take. We don't want to pay a lot, and then they can't make ends meet on it. So, you know, this question, what do you want to do? Well, I think you should help them as long as they're doing, helping themselves. One of the battles we've been having with Albany is there's a movement to take away all of those kinds of reforms where you don't have to work in order to get benefits. And I think that's wrong. I think we should incent people and even more than incent, make it a requirement.
What's going
on? If they can, that's a different story. But
excuse me. What's going on with Coney Island? This seems to be easier than reality is demonstrated.
There's a developer that bought a piece of property for $90-odd million. We've offered to buy it from him for $110 million or something like that. In this market, it isn't worth anything remotely. I don't think it's worth what he paid for it. And so far, we've been unable to get together. Coney Island has seen tough times, and we're trying to bring it back. We want to have an amusement park. We want to have development. And having said that, there's a point at which we're just not going to pay anymore, period. Just can't waste the public's money. We're just not going to do it.
And has the landlord said that if he can't come to a deal with the city, he's going to do something else? Get rid of the amusements and condos?
But then, you do need a lot of infrastructure from the city to be able to do it, so we have a lot of leverage here.
Okay, all right. Is there an end? Is there an end in the short term? Do you think, or it's up to him? It's up to the landlord.
It's a simpler problem than the World Trade Center, but not by much.
All right. One more question, then we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll get to the telephone calls and questions. I'm reading a lot of negative newspaper talk, at least, if not more than that, about Times Square and sort of the what's happened up there, sort of the trashy feel of closed Broadway.
Wait, time out. I saw the picture. if you take a look, somebody very carefully piled three or four chairs on top of each other.
You're not suggesting that the picture was
right around
out.
It. Somehow or other, the background where everybody was on chairs and it was clean, I couldn't see any trash, or did I imagine that in the picture? The bottom line...
Beauty is in the eye of the
beholder. Okay, look. His traffic was abominable, and we have to do something about it. Everybody says that, but there's no right answer. We've got an answer. The modeling says it'll work, and we're going to try it for a while and see if it works. I think it will, but we'll try it for a while. Number two, the accident rate of people getting killed in Herald Square and Times Square is off the charts. People cannot, the sidewalks cannot handle the crowds. We're doing something about that, okay? You got to do something about it. Number three, other cities around Europe in particular have done things like this. They've been phenomenally successful. But it takes a while. You do it, and then you see whether it works. People who are overnight saying, this is abominable, this is never going to work, maybe they're right, but I don't know why. Who made them that smart? If it works elsewhere, why not try it? If we sat there and didn't try any of these things and listened to the critics, they're people who are against everything. And the good news is most New Yorkers aren't. Most New Yorkers want to try new things. So far, when I talk to people and the studies we've done so far, traffic on 6th and 7th Avenue is much better than it was before. Traffic on Broadway wasn't there. Remember, we had already cut Broadway to two lanes, so you weren't trucks delivery. We didn't allow trucks to stop on Broadway. So this business of I can't stop in front of the store on Broadway and deliver... You shouldn't have stopped on Broadway before and delivered, and you didn't. You stopped around the corner and brought it around. That hasn't changed. Taxi cabs, the same people who were violently against the credit card use in the taxi cab, we're now, oh, they love it. You're kidding? Their tips are much greater than they were before, and they love it. And the public, and people tell you all the time, I left my computer and my cell phone in the car, in the cab. I called 311. They found. They asked where legs get it. They can track down the cab right away, all of this stuff. The taxi cab drivers are starting to like this because it hasn't taken away the business. Taxi cabs make money when they keep going. And so anything that moves the traffic is good for taxi cabs. If you're on Broadway for a few blocks and you need a cab, you got to walk half a block to get a cab. If you needed a cab and not willing to walk half a block, you didn't need a cab.
So how do you really feel about it?
I don't know whether in the end... It works. I do know you have to try new things. And so far, with the exception of a couple people with an agenda with a camera, it's worked. The $10 lounges aren't going to be there, but why not put something there in the meantime? I thought Tim Tompkins, Times Square bid, I don't think anybody knew he was going to do it. He was very innovative. Why not do it? It's a great idea. The guy deserves a lot of credit. Broadway, it's easier to get to Broadway. I drove down the other day from 79th Street down to the Theater District. It is the summer. Traffic is lighter. The economy is a little bit slower, not much, but a little bit in terms of traffic. But I've never gone without a stop, and we were zipping right down. And no lights and sirens, thank you. We went with everybody else.
No, we know your car doesn't have those. We'll get back to those on the phone in just a moment here.
Gambling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Unfortunately, not a lot of time here. Right to the calls. Eliza in Brooklyn, good morning. You've got the mayor. Go.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Mayor?
Hi.
Go right to the question, please.
Yeah, my question is, regarding Governor Patterson's bill, raising taxes against the rich, I'm personally not a rich person, but most of the city taxes and state taxes are the rich. And we see with other states that most of the rich are leaving.
Well, let me tell you, the state has already passed their tax bill and signed by the governor. So it's kind of late to even talk about it. They'll have to worry about what to do next year, but they made their decision. They raised the personal income tax, and we're going to have to adjust and live with it. And, no tax is a good tax. But if we want services, we want good people to provide them so that the services are good, and good people deserve to get paid. And if you don't pay them, you won't have them. So you got to make a decision. What do you want?
Let's go to Rudy in Manhattan. Rudy, right to the question, please.
Hello, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Gambling. I have a question about police pensions. Last week you were talking I hear rumors that towards the last 3 years of their service, they were giving excessive amount of overtime. So when they retire, the pension plan kicks in. So assuming they are making 50,000 average throughout 17 years, last 3 years, they're giving so much overtime.
All right, let's let the mayor
Okay, the governor has a bill before the state legislature, depending on regardless of who runs it, that would address some of that. You know, they do, if you were going to get your pension, you'd try to get more overtime in the end because that's what it in the past has depended on. The bottom line is we have some agreements with current police, and at least in the city, police and firefighters and all the other municipal workers, and we should honor those commitments. What we really have to do is to say we can't afford it for people we haven't hired yet. That's what's called a Tier 5, another level for employees who we haven't hired. Let's keep paying those we did hire. They came here under that deal, but we can't keep doing it.
We're out of time, Mr. Mayor. Always goes too quick. We'll see you next Friday right here on the John Gambling Show. We'll have some more time for phone calls next week. I'll work my very hardest for that. Have a great weekend. 9 o'clock.